Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for the day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy schedule. As we consciously come together to link hearts and minds across the airwaves. I love the quote that I shared with you yesterday, spirituality is the deepest and most enduring dimension of the self, a type of human consciousness where the heart and soul are the guide and source of fulfillment. You see, I'm always one to separate the difference of spirituality from religion. Religion is a set of doctrines and codes and theologies of thou shalt and thou shalt not, and an interpretation of someone from ancient handing down their version of what they think God is and God wants. For me, spirituality is a recognition of the work we have to do on ourselves to connect with the sacred directly and to show up in the world as a more fully formed, fully conscious human being. And I actually thought that my work was done here on the Sunday Soul. I knew to myself, I've done the 12 powers within, I've done the 12 levels of the natural laws, I've covered everything I could think of over the last 12 years I've been going. And thinking that I might actually be able to bow out now. But spirit always makes me smile. Not yet. And revealed to me that the next series that I'm to share are the levels of personal consciousness and development. As I said at the outset, spirituality involves the work we do on ourselves. And understanding how we are expressing from the level of consciousness that we are currently in. And as I looked at the seven levels of consciousness, some of this may reach the top level and may be there for bits, not many lengthy periods, but we're there for bits. But I believe we move up and down and through the levels of consciousness, depending on whatever we are facing in life. And I saw firsthand for myself how when you hear certain news, and I'll share a little more in due course, how you can drop back down into the first level of consciousness. And the first level of consciousness is survival. You see, we all need, in order to survive, basics. Clean air, water, food. We need to be able to keep our bodies healthy and fit. We need to be able to feel financially secure. And interestingly enough, the psychologists recognize that how we deal with this as an adult has a correlation to how our needs were met as a child. So if when we were growing up, we felt we were ignored by our parents, that we didn't have our needs met, we tend to be triggered and operate from a fear base that no matter as an adult, whatever's happening to us, we won't be able to resolve it. We won't be able to sort it. We'll be anxious and upset continuously, nervous and fearful. Well, on the other hand, if our needs were met as a baby, as a child or growing up, we're able to handle our survival situations without too much stress. We're kind of confident that no matter what, we'll be able to handle it, we'll be able to cope. That'll be okay. And when we're in survival mode, our bodies are anxious, and our brain responds by turning off our thinking brain and switching to our survival brain. And we're unable to be rational and to think and get clarity because we've gone into, and most of us are familiar with the fight, flight or freeze, but there actually is a fourth response, which I wasn't aware of, called fawning. So we know the flight response involves aggressively facing the threat. We're either verbally attacking or we're ready to fight. We're ready to seek some kind of resolution through conflict, whether yelling and berating or slamming of doors or destroying property, which I've never understood. Whenever I've watched television programs and the person who's angry knocks off everything off the table, off the dresser or wherever, I'm like, wow, I would never do that. And they're not able to listen to what anybody else is saying. You see, they feel this constant threat after their outbursts of shame and remorse. And then we have the flight response, which involves either wanting to run away from the threat. And the people that do this, they're trying to protect themselves by fleeing or running away from it, whether it's leaving home after a disagreement, ending relationships, or avoiding commitment. They have trouble focusing on work or achievements, or they like to micromanage everything. Running around, just being distracted. And people who freeze, these are people who are unable to react and often disassociate themselves from the threat. And it's just kind of about a pause. They're unable to think. They just let others yell at them, or they're holding their breath. They're stiff. They just have this sense of dread. They just shut down. And even because of this behavior, sometimes they're misdiagnosed as being in depression. A word that is often bandied about all too freely. And the fourth response is fawning. These are people who are trying to resolve the threat by placating the aggressor. Sometimes even moving closer to the threat. This involves pleasing and trying to reduce the conflict. You could see this response as trying to please others or being overly polite or agreeable, avoiding saying no or anything that's conflicting or contradictory. See, this level of consciousness, and as I said at the outset, we can roam through the levels of consciousness. When something hits us or pulls the rug out from under us, the thinking brain gets switched off and the ego resolves and regresses back into the survival brain of fighting, fleeing, freezing, or fawning. You see, when we're in this survival mode, we're in this contracted level of awareness. Our fear is contributing to the confusion, to the sense of conflict. And we struggle to find a solution because every time we're trying to think of a way, we're just met with frustration because we're not operating from a level of clarity, of connection to the source of all that is. We're operating on our own sense of what we think we can or should be doing, based on what perhaps we did before, and that never worked. And we have to understand that we are not at the mercy of our emotions, such as fear or anger or guilt or shame. We have to truly remember and come back into connection and communion that we are one with the all that is. God in us, as us. This week, one of our Sunday soulers from abroad left a message asking me to pray for her sister whose house burned down. As I listened to the message, I found myself dropping into the survival mode. The fear, the angst, the worry shot up through me. That for a moment, and when people ask me to pray or when I've read a message for pray, I always stop immediately what I'm doing to do the prayer. But I found I could not even pray at that moment. Such was my emotion that I had to stop and ask God to fill me first with this peace that passeth all understanding before I could offer up a prayer. And I saw firsthand how when we hear something that's upsetting, disturbing, or whatever it is, how we can easily drop into the survival mode, how we can switch off our thinking brain and allow our surviving brain to operate. When I was able to speak to my friend later and she shared what had happened, you can see sometimes only the grace of God could be at move, could be at work in a situation. Her sister had her other sister visiting and taken her to the airport. And she was going to leave her little dog behind. But the sister said, no, bring. So they took the little dog. She dropped the sister at the airport, and when she came back, as she pulled up, there she saw her home on fire, and the fire engines and stuff was there. I cannot even begin to imagine what she must have felt, what she must be going through, to see that everything you own, have, possessed, going up in flames. And so, as we recognize our levels of consciousness, none of us escape these experiences where we are pulled out of our conscious connection and communion with spirit, and we drop into the survival level of consciousness. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? How am I going to, and you can fill in the blanks. You see, we need to understand that as humans, we've evolved from being the mid-level of the food chain, and through our strong survival instinct, bested everything that was above us, so that now we are at the top of the food chain. And then in part of our mind, and we know about the reptilian mind, we still have that primal survival of fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. So we have to keep being conscious to raise our consciousness, to understand these primal responses, to understand when we are dropping into fear. After I was speaking with my friend, I said, let us pray. We know that where two or three are gathered and agree on something, because of the situation, I said, we need to affirm for this. She said, you have to remember, this is Alabama. They don't operate like how you think they should. I said, that may be the truth, but we know greater truth. We know the truth that with God, all things are possible. That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think, and whilst we may not understand the reasons for what happened and why it happened, we know that through various examples, what man meant for evil, God turns it around for good. We know that Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own flesh and blood, who was imprisoned and eventually became the prime minister of Egypt, was able to turn it around. And when his brothers finally appeared before him, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So whatever it is that we are going through, that we think we are surviving, that we have to navigate through, let us come back to the remembrance that God is unchanging and unchangeable. I want to share my sacred text with you, because always there's a quote for me in the Bible that will show me the way, guide me, direct me, inspire me. The first is from Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. And Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, my beloved, always when we can stay connected to the truth of who we are and whose we are, no matter the situation we are facing, no matter what we are going through, we are one with a God that is able to overcome everything and all things. And he is a God that changes not. So here's a few suggestions to help you recognize and process your stress responses. And the first is to become aware. As I said, it's so easy when whatever it is hits you, you're shocked and you don't know what to do. Don't allow the thinking brain to switch off. Stay there. Just become aware. Recognize what emotion you are dragging or dropping into. And recognize that, yes, you're going to feel it in your body. You're going to feel the shock. You're going to feel the upset. You're going to feel the anger. You're going to feel the fear. Don't try and bypass. You know, often I talk about not spiritually bypassing what we're feeling or what we're going through. And sometimes you might be able to shift out of that feeling quickly, and sometimes it may linger longer. This might show up as a headache or tension or your stomach in knots or whatever the body sensation Don't dismiss it. Recognize it. Be aware of it. And understand it's an invitation to take your attention away from whatever it is and place it on God. The second thing is try not to analyze. It's a human construct. We want to try and understand everything. Why did this happen? Why me? What did I do? Sometimes there's no way that we could ever understand something that has occurred or happened. It simply is what it is. And try not to feel that you need to make sense of it. There is so much that can happen in this life to us, for us, that there is no making sense. The third thing is to recognize the emotions, to process, to breathe, to allow. Again, you know that motion is energy, movement. Let whatever it is flow. Don't keep it. Don't let it build up. Don't let it block and state as a trauma in your body. You have to allow whatever the emotion is to flow, to allow it to, as I said, aware of it, acknowledge it, and allow it to flow out. Whether that requires that you cry, or whether you explode, or you have an outburst, just let it out. Don't keep it in. This level of survival, of how we operate, it really is an invitation for us to consciously, continuously move from being unconscious to conscious. To allow ourselves to align with the all in all. And my story that I want to share with you is an Ethiopian folk tale. And it says, once upon a time in an Ethiopian village, there lived a boy who was so shy and fearful of the world around him that his family called him Miobi, frightened one. Why do you call me that? The boy asked his grandfather. The old man laughed. Because you are afraid, he answered. The boy's grandmother, his mother and father and neighbors said the same thing. Miobi pondered these words and decided he must find a way to conquer fear. And that night when everyone was fast asleep, he packed a sack and set off into the world to find out what he feared and to conquer it. That night he slept under the wide umbrella of sky and stared up at the darkness before drifting off. He whispered to himself, I see you, but I will conquer you, fear. He walked until the sun began to rise, and when he saw its golden orb, he smiled with relief, for he had survived the first night. I'm becoming brave, he said, and he walked on. Soon he came to a village, and for a moment he thought, I don't know these people at all. They might be unkind to a stranger. But he straightened up and walked right into the village, saying aloud, I will conquer you, fear. He walked into the village square, and there he found the village elders, gathered, muttering amongst themselves. And as Miobi came near, they looked up and sneered. Who are you? I'm traveling the world to become brave, Miobi answered. The elders laughed. Fool, no one can find bravery where it does not exist. What do you mean? Miobi asked. The elders sighed unhappily. We are finished, said one old man. Our village is being threatened by a monster up on the mountain. Miobi followed the old man's gaze to the top of the mountain. See him? There, the old man said. Miobi squinted. He did not want to insult the man, but he saw nothing there. Look, said the other. See, it has the head of a crocodile, a monstrous crocodile, and his body is as horrible as a hippopotamus, a gigantic hippopotamus. It's like a dragon, another man cried, with fire shooting from its soul. Now Miobi began to see the monster. He began to see the smoke and the fire of the wrinkled skin, the fiery eyes. I see, he said, but silently he promised himself he would not be afraid. So he walked away from the elders to the village. And everywhere people cowered, finally Miobi decided that he was going to go up and destroy the monster. "I wish to conquer fear," he announced, "and so I shall slay the monster." "No, son, don't do it," the elders cried. Mothers gathered to try and shield the young man from harm, and fathers shook their head and warned, "You will die." Miobi shivered, and his heart fluttered, but he was determined. "I must conquer fear," he said, and he set off. At the base of the mountain, he looked up and felt a chill of fear run down his spine. The monster looked even bigger and fierier than any dragon, fiercer than a whole pack of wolves or a nest of snakes. He remembered the days when he had been afraid, and he took a deep breath and began to climb. As he climbed, he looked up, but now he saw the monster seemed to be growing smaller. "How peculiar," he said. "My eyes are deceiving me." He continued to climb, and the closer I get, the smaller he looks, Miobi thought, puzzlingly. He continued to climb through now, and as he pulled out his dagger from his sack so that he could be prepared. At long last, he reached the summit, and it was empty and quiet. Nothing was there. Suddenly, he heard a sound at his feet. He looked down and saw a little creature just like a toad, with wrinkled skin and round, frightened eyes. He bent down and picked it up. "Who are you?" he asked. How did you become so small?" But the monster said nothing, and so he cradled him in his arms and walked down the mountain. When he reached the village, the people cried, "He's safe," and they surrounded him. Miobi held out his hand and showed them the wrinkled tiny toad. "This is the monster," he said. "What is your name?" said the elder. The creature croaked, and the elder looked up at the crowd and said, "Miobi has brought us the monster. Its name is Fear." I loved that folk tale. Because if we are in survival brain, survival mode, survival consciousness, we can allow the smallest of things to become so huge that we are fearful of stepping out. My poem that I want to share with you today is by Trina Graves. It says, "Your body is not the real you. You are so much more than what you can see. For the real truth is quite simply, you are a physical extension of source energy. Source energy is what some call God. It doesn't really matter what name you use. It is limiting to believe that you are any less, but you always have free will to choose. Each and every soul upon this earth contains the spark of source within. With some it can be buried so deep, negativity can lead to a life of sin. With others, their light can shine so bright, they are a beacon that shows many the way. But Source loves us all, the good and the bad, knowing we will all become light one day." C. Tomino says, actually I shared that already. So let me share our Science of Mind reading before we get into our meditation. The first quote is from Alice Walker, who says, "The most common way that people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." A second quote from Ernest Holmes, a thing called you, says, "Spiritual faith is unshakable conviction, a surrender of the mind, the will and the imagination to the belief in an invisible agency which can and will respond to us." The author writes, "The prophet Elisha listened to the widow share her mounting fears. Her deceased husband's death left her without means, and the imminent action of creditors coming to take her two sons as slaves heightened her despair. Elisha asked her, 'Tell me what you have.' He offered the widow space to communicate her story and then redirected the energy. He wanted her to give voice to what it was that she possessed in the moment. Meekly, she responded that all she had left was a small jar of olive oil. It's important to note that such oil was like currency in that era, a valuable commodity for cooking, ointments, lamp lighting, and trading power. He instructed her and her sons to go door to door and borrow every available pot, large and small. They would need to press through their doubt and embarrassment. They complied. Elisha then told them to pour the small bit of oil into the accumulated pots. And the story says that the oil continuously flowed until every last borrowed pot was filled. Finally, the prophet said, "Go, sell the oil and pay off your debt." The story is a reminder of the power of focus. Create a pause within any upset. Redirect the energy from what feels absent by giving voice to what is available, no matter how small. Do this even when facing the predicament. Our redirection towards what we have is our version of pouring. We continue to pour our focus into the capable wisdom of that which already knows the divine solution. You see, my beloveds, when we are in survival mode, we need to come back to our realigning mode, to redirect our thoughts and energies, to remember that we are one with the source of all that is God in us as us. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our meditation reflection. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be conscious and cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. 3rd and final time, inhale. I consciously enter into God's presence today. The Most High is enthroned in my soul. The Divine Spirit exists at the center of my being. Knowing that the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God are limitless and are available to me, today I have no fear. Knowing that divine power can accomplish anything, And realizing that faith in this divine power draws it forth into my experience. Today, I exercise complete confidence in the invisible. I know that new and wonderful ideas will come into my consciousness today, and that I will be compelled to act upon them intelligently. I am assured of divine guidance. I feel that it will be impossible for me to make any mistake, that even though I should start to move falsely, my movement will be corrected. I feel as though I am being constantly guarded and protected. Since all things are possible to God, which is my true nature, I know that I have discovered the secret of life. I know that I have uncovered an inner spiritual reality that gives power to everything I do. I accept that supreme power is with me at all times. Since this power cannot fail, I will not fail. Since this divine presence cannot be unwhole, my knowledge of my union with it makes me whole. Since this supreme intelligence cannot lack knowledge, I know that I am divinely guided. Since the eternal mind which dwells within me is forever at peace, I know that I am led onto pathways of peace. Since God is all there is, I know that I dwell in intimate union with the only presence and the only power that exists. Since God is everywhere, I realize that I consciously enter into God's presence today. From Ernest Holmes, 365 Signs of Mind. So take a deep breath and allow this beautiful meditation we've just affirmed to resonate within your being. Now take another deep breath as we enter into our circle of prayer. And I invite each and every one of you to hold with me, Shanna, the dear sister whose house burned down. As we know that God, who is the author of our lives, the spirit that is everywhere present at every point in space and time, is right where she is. Now I also invite you to include anything or anyone that is in need in prayer at this time. For God is the Spirit whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. Divine Beloved, Mother, Father, God, Thou who art the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider for each and every one of us. As we consciously come into Your presence this morning, to understand this first level of consciousness of survival, to see how we may respond to whatever situation we find ourselves in from this level. But let us remember who we are and whose we are. That as we align ourselves with You, we can be strong and courageous, knowing that You are victoriously upholding us with Your right hand, that You will deliver us from every situation, condition, or circumstance. And what man meant for evil, You mean it for good. Let us grow and expand in this awareness, in this consciousness, in this way of being, so that body and soul may receive its infinite and internal guidance from You. That we may look beyond the fear of whatever is happening in this moment, that we may transcend the anger, the annoyance, the upset, the disappointment, the whatever the emotion is, that we can release it, let it go, and know that You will fill us full of the peace that passes all human understanding. In this moment, we hold our beloved sister Shanna in our hearts, and knowing as we speak this word for her, that her every need is met, physically, emotionally, financially, physiologically, psychologically, and in whatever other way, shape, or form is needed. We know that there is nothing too hard for You to do. So we know that her needs are met, that the hearts and minds of those that have been closed are opened, so that she may have whatever it is that she needs to live the life that You have meant for her. As we hold her in our hearts, we hold all people who are in some struggles or difficulties at this time. We know that there is so much happening right here in our own UK, as well as across the globe. We know that many people are fighting for survival in so many ways, shapes, and forms. So we ask that their needs be met. That whatever the healing, whatever the fulfillment, whatever is the requirement, only You, the source of all that is, can provide, can heal, can bless, can restore. So for everything and everyone, we surrender it to You now. The two-legged, the four-legged, the winged, the fin, the hoof, all of creation, all of life comes from You. So Mother, Father, God, Creator, Sustainer of all that is, we surrender it now to You. So it is, and so it is, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our Science of Mind affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Our Science of Mind affirmation, repeat after me. I focus on what I have.
I focus on what I have.
I focus on what is working.
I focus on what is working.
Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly
or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
if I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed,
may I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. As we're running over time, I'm just going to share with you our rumination today. Rumi says, master your vicious ego and judgmental mind. Then with clear purpose, silent and alone, you can start on your journey towards spirit. And yesterday was Earth Day, and this week is considered Earth Week, so I wanted to share something. It's a canticle from, or attributed to, St. Francis of Assisi, entitled Canticle of the Creatures. All praise be yours, my Lord, through all that you have made. And first, my Lord, brother, son, who brings the day. How beautiful is he, how radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister moon and stars. In the heavens, you have made them bright and precious and fair. All praise be yours, my Lord, through brother wind and air. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister water, so useful, lowly, precious, and pure. All praise be yours, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you brighten up the night. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister earth, our mother, who feeds us and produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. And so, my beloved, as we come to the close of this morning's Sunday soul, after I'd heard the news that my friend had shared and we had spoken, this song was playing. And so I'd like to share it with you. It's by Torren Wells, and it's entitled Joy in the Morning. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, 'cause it ain't easy to your bed by the fire, but you still choose to follow.
Trust you love that as much as I do. My beloveds, I wish you a very blessed and happy week. Be safe. Until, peace and blessings.